W1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. New Israeli attacks in southern Gaza as ABC News has learned the Biden administration paused weapons shipments to Israel. ABC's M. Nguyen has details on the latest military action.
Israeli troops entered Rafah yesterday. A tank was seen crushing an I Love Gaza sign as troops took control of a border crossing. But U.S. officials insist Israel has not yet launched a full-scale invasion.
Nashville, St. Louis, Memphis, and Cincinnati, some of the metro areas facing a severe weather risk today. The last 2 days have seen 40 reported tornadoes across 11 states. Heavy damage last night in Portage, Michigan. 2 nights ago, roughly 350 homes in Oklahoma were destroyed. Former President Trump's criminal hush money trial resumes tomorrow. More testimony expected from Stormy Daniels. Tuesday, Trump's attorneys moved for a mistrial after Daniels' testimony about their 2006 encounter. This is ABC News. New trouble for Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver Rashee Rice, reportedly under investigation after an attack on a photographer at a club. Rice is already facing felony charges for a hit-and-run crash in Dallas. There's a major change on the way for the WNBA.
For the first time, the WNBA players will fly private planes to their away games for the entire season. The league's commissioner, Kathy Engelbert, announced it's committed to spend $50 million over the next 2 years for full-time charter flight service. The WNBA spent $4 million on charters last year. It comes as the WNBA's profile is gaining more fans in the stands thanks to players like Caitlin Clark. The team also has more back-to-back games this season due to the hiatus, so players can compete in the Summer Olympics in Paris. Michelle Franz in ABC News.
And a key part of the Olympics arrives today in France. The Olympic flame enters French soil in the southern city of Marseille. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Fabulous Farm Bay PM Yankee here with the Midwest Farm Report live weekday mornings right here on WGBW. It's about your food and where it comes from. Tune in and learn. 5 a.m., 1590 a.m., 97.9 FM, the talk of Green Bay.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Tickets are on sale for new Amtrak service between the Twin Cities and Chicago. The trains will make 8 stops in Wisconsin. The second daily round-trip trains start running on the 21st. Coach fares start at $41 with discounts for students, seniors, and military personnel and their families. Another summer of wildfire smoke could be bad for your health. Travis Knudsen of the Lane Regional Air Protection Agency says small particles in wildfire smoke can cause itchy eyes, coughing, and short-term breathing problems.
If you are someone who already suffers from respiratory issues like you have asthma, it makes those acute symptoms that much more challenging and potentially problematic from a health perspective.
Today is World Asthma Day, and that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers win a thriller. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A 6-5 win in Kansas City over the Royals. Top of the ninth, the crew down 5-3. The Royals fans daring Adames to be the hero. Brewers manager Pat Murphy after the win.
Willie is telling the fans he's going to do it. The group of fans right by the on-deck circle, Willie is announcing to them, if I get up there, we're going to take the lead. He's announcing it to him over and over, and they're playing back and forth to each other. Gary walks. He turns back to me. He goes, watch this. Bam.
You're being serious?
I'm being dead serious. It's what he did. It's amazing. No, it was unbelievable. I watched this, and I'm looking at Ricky, and I'm looking back at him, and he's carrying on with him during Gary's at bat. and he's telling them, and they're all Kansas City fans, and he's telling them, one more ball. It was a 3-0 pitch, and then 3-1. And he goes, one more, and he turned back to him, and he goes, here we go, watch this. Went up there, boom. I mean, it was like, did I just see that? It was a cool moment.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Plenty of sunshine through early afternoon, and then we do have a chance of an isolated shower or two popping through here by late today and again into tonight. Our high today, 68. The wind northeast at around 5 to 15. Tonight, 46. Tomorrow, clouds and a few showers in the morning. More sunshine in the afternoon with a high near 60. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Deb Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters Wisconsin joins us at 10:33. 11:33, public service announcement with Dr. Laura Hanks. Don't miss it.
Matt and Air on air, weekday mornings at 10. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin, live from the Civic Media Studios at the City Deck Landing in Green Bay, and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest-serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Happy Wednesday to you. Did you survive that stuff last night?
That's unbelievable.
Wow. Some stuff blew through, didn't it?
Well, and the rain, man. Yeah. You're to the car, you get drenched. That was a heavy rain.
That was
a heavy, heavy rain.
Crazy.
Yeah. But today's good.
Southern Michigan, though, right across. You know, how wide? This is something I've always wanted to know, and I don't know. How wide is Lake Michigan? Well, like from here to there.
Right. So if you take from Manitowoc to
Ludington,
that's what, 4.5 hours.
Okay.
How fast does that go?
They say about 118 miles.
Okay. Oh, it is that far.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because it's probably only 30 miles an hour. But anyway, yes.
Because those storms hit in Kalamazoo, tornadoes.
Which is right across
the street. Yeah, just right across the thing there. And they got hit bad. Kalamazoo, Michigan, Grand Rapids area. They got hit hard last night. But did you see the other line of storms that's moving up through like Ohio and Pennsylvania? And they say just could be horrific storms again. And Oklahoma got hit again. Yeah. This one town was basically wiped out, and it got wiped out a couple of years ago. It's like, wow.
So, you know,
this is that time.
Johnny, we were talking yesterday, right, about the Oklahoma?
Yeah.
So I text my buddy.
Were you in Oklahoma?
Oh, yeah. What do you mean?
The play, the musical.
Oh, I was going to say, it's like Oklahoma. I've been there a bunch of times. They're like, what?
No, I thought you were in that. Weren't you in that?
No.
I could see you in that. Oklahoma.
Where the wind comes sleeping down the plain.
I could see him. I can totally see him. Who was that? Shirley MacLaine? No. Big name, though.
Oh, yeah.
What was her name? Her name. Can't think of it. But anyway.
Anyway, so I.
What are you doing? You're digging around for something in your bag?
Guess what I'm looking for?
I have no. Your
phone?
Yep.
Okay.
But Mick texted me yesterday because I said to him, hey, look, man, we're talking about Oklahoma, and do you have fallout shelters? Do people have, remember you talked about building those? And there's no, I'll read that as soon as I find my phone. I don't know where it is.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, whatever. But some people have them, but a lot of people don't, is kind of what he said. So you're right. There could be an opportunity for you to dig.
Why would you not, though?
Right. Well,
I don't get it.
And what? They're not that expensive. I don't know. And he said
it's like building a small foundation.
But he said there's
get a backhoe.
Right.
Boom. Get some flat work.
And it doesn't have to be attached to your house.
No.
It could just be, you know, within a few feet. But there's what I was surprised what he said was there's no public ones. Wouldn't you think a city
would
say,
followed
look,
shelter
man,
type
here's one for this. Like
I agree.
Every park would have one.
Where would you go if one hit here? Because we've got so many windows here. This would be...
And there's no basement here, is there?
No, I don't think so. Is there, Todd?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, there's a parking garage.
I guess we'd go down there, right? But if you didn't have time, I would just go into, like, one of the bathrooms
those
here.
Side
right,
yeah. Yeah, they seem pretty solid.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really do.
No, the parking garage
Todd,
would be super
Todd,
safe.
I could see you and me in there, and Jim couldn't find his phone. We lock ourselves in. Guys, let me in.
Pounding on the door.
Kind of like the Wizard
guys,
of Oz.
Right.
Guys, it's the mayor.
I'd be Dorothy.
He's Dorothy out there.
And Todd would be like, who? Did you hear something? No, it's just the wind, Todd.
The wind, don't worry about it.
You guys, it's the mayor.
I'm going to get you guys.
Let me in.
I'm going to survive this, and you're going to pay. Yeah.
I got to go rescue Milton. I'll be right back.
I would probably do that.
I know you would.
I would probably do that.
I could see you doing that.
I would do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I would go rescue him before
All right.
I
okay. Cool.
rescued you.
You know, it's one of those things, though, too, where when something like, it almost, you almost want, like, I remember I was talking with Brett Favre's family one time. You know, they're a little, but
we both got to dine with
them. But until,
or whatever you call it, let's call it eat with them.
Yeah. Socialize.
Yes.
But. They used to have, up until that really, really bad hurricane hit a few years ago, where they almost all died. I mean, the family, the boys had to build a raft, Jeff and that, to take people out in. But
really?
Yeah. But other, they said they used to have hurricane parties in Louisiana and Mississippi. Like when they knew a hurricane, they would throw big parties.
Yeah, I believe that.
And ride it out.
Yeah, I believe that.
Were you ever down there for one time?
I was down there for one. But I will tell you that the tornadoes and stuff down there are wicked crazy.
Yeah.
More than anything else. And I'm not surprised that they would try and party through a hurricane.
They would have hurricane parties.
I could see that.
Me
yes.
Too. Oh, hell, that ain't nothing. Let me tell you, back in 64, we got hit one so much worse. Yep. No question about it. You said they'd make the big thing of crawfish boils or whatever, and they'd party through them. Yep.
Funny.
So let's see. Today is Wednesday, May 8th. It is Donkey Day. Okay. What's the difference between a donkey and a
mule?
Wait, mules are big. Isn't a mule
the
offspring of a horse and something else?
No.
No?
No.
Isn't the donkey offspring of a mule and a horse?
I think a donkey.
I think so.
No, I think a donkey is offspring of a donkey.
And then what's the other one, though?
Isn't
there another one? There's a donkey and there's something that's kind of like a donkey, isn't there?
I was just trying to look something
what
up.
What did Mary ride into Bethlehem?
A donkey.
Was it a donkey? Okay.
Or sometimes they would say ass in the Bible, but then all the kids would laugh. So
right.
Sure donkey and a mule?
Okay. But mules are a lot bigger, I think, right?
Well, mules, I think.
Mules are like, okay, remember, what was that show, Death Valley Days?
Well, no.
Brought to my Borax Soap. Remember? They'd have like 20 mules.
Well, those mules are the,
Death
what
Valley.
You take, right? Those mules, when you go to the Grand Canyon, you take the mules down.
Okay.
Those are mules. But they are, like you said, they're.
Yeah. But I think donkeys
they can
are
carry
pretty
small. Like, mules can carry, I think, I bet 10 times their weight.
They were used big in Italy, actually, for the mountain during World War II.
Oh, I bet.
Because they couldn't, trucks couldn't go up the sides of the mountains, and the mules could.
And they carry, just the stuff that they can put on.
Yeah, they're amazing. Yep. In fact, there was a branch of the service called mule skinners in the United States Army. And they were actually guys that was part of the supply chain of getting supplies to the troops in the mountains. And they used mules.
I believe that.
Yeah. Today is National Golf Day. Didn't know it really needed a day.
No, like they get a lot of days.
Yep. Have a Coke Day, which is kind of ironic because 1985 on this day, New Coke was released. And that has to be about has there ever been a bigger flop?
When that marketing company came out with My McDonald's, remember that?
Yeah.
Then they got canned.
Yeah,
that didn't work either. But yeah, that new Coke. But yeah, it's just there's a. It's funny because that happens a lot. That happens a lot more than you think. Where
but with them, it's such a big stage,
right? Well, that's what I'm saying. Even these bigger companies, they make their mistakes too. Because they well, look at I guess the best example recently was when Budweiser went with that that Bud Light.
Yeah.
And they went with that trans person as a, you know, it's like, okay, you guys have been around, you're a huge company, and you didn't read the market,
I was going to say, read your customers.
Right, and they didn't do that
at
the new Coke thing, and that whole McDonald's thing was a flop.
Anyway. Allison just texted in, mule is a male donkey, female horse. Henry is a male horse, female donkey.
So I'm wondering... A mule is a male donkey, female horse. Maybe they mated and created a mule. A henny is a male horse and a female donkey, I believe, that mated. If that's what you mean, Allison.
Okay. Huh.
I don't know about
I don't
that.
Know. I'm not sure.
Do I think even, Allison knows better than us.
She's listening in from Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Though,
wow. So, oh, Allison, but I just, Allison, so what are you saying? Donkeys don't mate? Like a male donkey? Is there, you know what I'm saying, Johnny?
Yeah,
is there,
yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Do donkeys ever hook up?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be the terminology
right.
that you use.
6:14 in the morning. Yeah.
So, Allison said that's.
Do donkeys hook up? I got to know.
This morning on Mino and the Mayor.
Yeah.
Yes.
Allison says, yeah, that's what she means.
Okay. Thank you, Allison.
Wow. All right. Well, we're learning something here. This is
yes.
good. This
is
good.
Today is also one of my favorite days, coconut cream pie day.
No.
Other than pecan pie, is there anything better than coconut cream pie?
There's a ton of stuff better than coconut
Are
cream.
Are you serious?
A ton,
coconut
a
cream
ton,
is great.
A ton.
Oh, thank you, Todd.
Just anything. Apple, cherry, pumpkin.
No.
Anything's better.
No. Coconut cream. Receptionist day. Okay. Do they still even call them receptionists?
Yeah, I know. They kind of really executive secretaries now, right?
Yeah.
Or I guess, not really.
I think
no,
that's different.
Yeah, it is different.
Well, Todd, though, even in our business, it used to be program manager.
Yeah. No,
now it's brand manager.
No, right.
But the receptionist, you guys, no, wait a minute. That is its own category. That's the first person you have contact with when you walk
okay,
in.
Okay, who do you think of? Who do you think of when you say the word receptionist? Who do you think of?
Lonnie Anderson.
To KRP? Oh. I was kind of with him because I figured you're going radio.
I should have. You know who mine was?
Who?
The one in the Bob Newhart show.
Oh, yeah. Marsha Wallace.
Yeah,
right?
She'd be. No, that's a receptionist.
That to me is a receptionist.
They would not be executive secretaries. No, you're right. The receptionists are the greeters.
Yes.
And that's, some people have gone away with that. Pick up the phone.
Oh, that's
you
what
know,
I mean. Yeah.
And it's nice that we honor live receptionists.
I
real
think I'd
people.
Be a good receptionist.
I don't know. Because sometimes people come in and you'd be like, what? Are you kidding me? You're asking me that? Are you serious? Did you just ask me that?
So you'd be like, let me go check on that and then go home for the day. Right.
Yeah. I'll get right back to you. Melissa Gilbert is 60 years old today. I met her one time when she was like 14.
Don't know her.
Yes, you do.
Okay.
Little House on the Prairie?
Melissa Gilbert?
Was she the one that was here?
No, that was
Allison Ann
Grimm. Allison Ann, yeah.
Okay, I met her a couple times. All right.
Yeah, me too.
Nice.
Alex Van Halen is 71. Hmm? Was he the heavier set one, Todd? That got the beard kind of?
That is, I believe you're thinking of Van Halen's son.
Oh, okay.
Wolf.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Philip Bailey is 73. Who's Philip Bailey?
Philip Bailey was in Earth, Wind, and Fire. He did a duet with Phil Collins called Easy Lover back in like 84.
Oh, Easy Lover. Yep. Yep. Tony Tennille is 84. Wow. Met her one time, too.
Really?
She sang the national anthem for the Michigan Panthers game one time.
With her?
Really tall. She's like 6'1". Really, really tall. Cute, though. I mean, you know, whatever.
That's the captain, Tennille? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah.
Was he here? Was he there with you? I mean.
He was there.
Yeah.
He didn't say a word. She was nice. Yeah. Okay. So, 1886 today, Coca-Cola was invented by John Pepperton. Wow. Do you want to know who made like $1 billion on Coca-Cola back in the day? He was one of the very early investors because it was from Atlanta, Georgia, and he was from Atlanta, Georgia.
From Atlanta.
I'm going to give you a hint.
The guy who owns the...
No. I'm going to give you a hint. Ready?
Yeah.
His nickname was the Georgia Peach.
Oh, I don't know. Is he an athlete?
Yeah.
I mean, they're headquartered down there.
That's Ty Cobb.
Huh?
Ty Cobb was one of the early investors in Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
And made $1 billion on it. There you go.
That's cool.
Yeah. All right. Hey, we got a lot of stuff going on. If you saw that article in the Press Gazette yesterday about Lake Michigan on the bottom of Lake Michigan, all the stuff that's still down there.
Yeah.
I got Diver Ed coming. Ed the Diver coming in.
And he's going to claim a lot of it.
He's going to, he and I.
Oh, okay. That's right.
He and I. And I got to ask him about a thing that I might buy, whereas I could then reclaim stuff with him. I'm going to ask. I just looked this up, and I think I've got a new thing coming up. Pierre Jacques Green Bay UFO Museum.
That's cool.
Is coming on. Ben and Deanna Malcor, two of our favorite people coming
awesome.
Up. Terry Barr, some other folks. Stay with us. Before you know it, you'll be on your knees.
She's an easy lover. She'll take your heart, but you won't be. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
College may not be the right path for your kid, but that doesn't mean they can't earn a good living and have a secure future. If they like working with their hands and want to help build up surrounding communities, they should consider a career in the skilled trades through a 4-year apprenticeship as a union carpenter. To learn more, it's easy. Visit northcountrycarpenter.org and fill out the interest form to get more information. That's northcountrycarpenter.org.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Hey, welcome back. Mind on the Mayor here on a good-looking Wednesday morning. 55 in Green Bay, 52 in Appleton, 55 in Oshkosh. So let's talk about that big article in the Press Gazette yesterday about all the stuff that's still on the bottom of Lake Michigan and how we're going to get that. So I've got Ed the Diver joining. Hello, Ed.
How's it going, guys?
Good, how are you?
Good. Hey, Ed.
Okay, first thing I want to talk to you about, something I saw that I'm thinking about getting so that when we're partners in our, reclamation.
Careful, Ed.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of an immersion suit?
Immersion suit.
Immersion suit.
Is like, that like a dry suit or what?
I think so. You can go underwater in them.
That's called a wetsuit.
No, but it's a whole different thing. It's called an immersion suit. It might be a brand new thing.
It's a so they can raise the price on people like
you. Yeah.
No, but I think it's kind of like the old days. You know when you had the old guys with the big helmet and they'd walk on the floor, that type of thing? I think it's something like that.
All right.
Okay. And
of course, you need the air supply coming down, too.
Right.
Yeah.
But can you get me one?
Can I get you one?
I can help you then.
I'm a wetsuit kind of guy.
All right.
Although I could see John in one of those with the the steampunk kind of thing.
Yeah. You know, I gotta tell you a story.
You would panic. I don't think that's a good idea.
I think it's my book, The Pacific. Got a guy from Escanaba, Michigan. Mm-hmm. Dale Vinette was his name, and he was a underwater salvager for his whole life and everything. And then he got recruited to go. He's like one of the first. They didn't even call them Navy SEALs back in the day. It was UDTs is what they call it, all right? And they would go and clear the mines and things like that before an invasion, all right?
Cool.
But so then in his later job, he was, he'd get hired, like if a ship was stuck, they would literally go under it, put cables. Well, he was doing that one time, and the sand shifted, and he got pinned underneath this ship.
Wow.
Pitch black for like 5 hours.
Ugh.
Can you imagine that?
No, that'd be scary.
But he had an air supply?
But he still had the air supply. But then he lost communications because they actually would talk to those guys. But then he lost communication. So he didn't know if he was just going to drift. He didn't know if it was like 3 days or how many hours. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's scary.
Yeah. So they actually, for the invasion of Iwo Jima, one of the most famous battles of all time, they actually went out ahead to clear some of the lanes, blow up some of the barriers and everything like that. Well, the ship that was supposed to come and pick them up couldn't make it. So they were the first ones on the islands as the Marines stormed the beaches. And that's all they had. They didn't have this new. They wore long underwear dyed blue. Just completely long underwear.
Mm-hmm.
He said the same thing you'd wear in the UP for shoveling snow. Okay. So they're laying there. And here comes these Marines storming the beaches. And they're looking like, who in the hell are these guys laying here in long underwear? They didn't know what was going on.
They must be from Nagani.
They were Upers.
Upers.
They were, yes.
So, Ed, do you go to the bottom of the lake? No.
Yeah, whenever I'm doing cleanups, you got to go. You want to go where all the trash is and stuff, and you're kind of searching for, anything that doesn't belong there. So, you find all kinds of things, safes, guns, knives.
Deep, isn't a lot of pressure? Isn't it dangerous? Lake Michigan we're talking about, right?
Oh, okay.
We're not. Whatever, I understand.
How deep would you go?
I go in a lot of different lakes. The deepest I've been in general is in the ocean, Jamaica, 100 feet,
looking
at a shipwreck and two plane wrecks. But that was pretty cool. And it's so warm. It's like 80 degrees that deep.
And you can see too, right?
Yeah. You can see a couple hundred feet. Here, you get down, get down past 20 feet and it feels like it's 35 degrees. Right. You're freezing.
Yeah.
But no, it's like most of my dives I do are just like 2 to 12 feet of depth. So getting a lot of stuff out of the rivers, the lakes, where everybody's swimming, like out at Twin Bridge, Krivitz area. But yeah, you never know what you'll find.
Right.
And this year's going to be crazy. I start my three-month tour this Monday, starting out in Door County, traveling all across the Midwest.
Can people come and, like, watch you and see when you come up and what you found?
Yeah, so they can come during this tour. They're more than welcome to come and help me clean up the shores, the banks. Otherwise, if they dive, if they have their own equipment, they're welcome to come out and join me.
Is it on your Facebook and everything, your schedule?
So I do have to update that. I had something changed for next week already, so it's kind of a, you know, in the process. It's subject to change, but I've got some community events coming up, too, from this tour.
Do you, like, find something and then come up, take your helmet off, and then $20, $20, start auctioning off right away, $30, $40, $40,
$50. No, actually, a lot of stuff I try to get back to the owners. So if it has something of value and you know, if someone might have lost it or might be stolen, I try to find the owners of it, unless it's like an old bottle or something.
We've got a challenge for you right now. Can you find his phone?
It's not underwater. It's in my briefcase. I don't know. Somewhere.
Did you check under your car seat?
I was going to say it could be in my car.
In the back seat.
I wanted to read him an email I got yesterday, and I couldn't find it.
So now, when reading about those shipwreck type things in the paper yesterday, okay? Now, how does that work, Ed? That kind of stuff, correct me if I'm wrong, it belongs to the state and you can't take it, but what you do, you can. How does that work?
So, yeah, you're not allowed to take stuff from shipwrecks. It's protected. What I do for salvage diving is fishing lures, bottles, old cans, stuff like that. And I think that there's a law, too, if it's a certain age old or something, like, say, a bunch of Indian stuff.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to
touch that, right?
Or if you do find it, you're supposed to hand it over to them.
But do they? I mean, come on. If I was telling her diving and, you know, there's got to be unbelievable valuable things on these ships, because a lot of them, they were taking money across to, and then just stuff they were wearing and things too.
Have you ever come across a shipwreck around here?
No, but I've heard some from other divers. Mom's the word. You find it, don't tell anybody.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're not that far off. I mean, you could dive those shipwrecks, right?
Yeah. There's a lot of them out in, you know, Bay of Green Bay and stuff. A lot of shipwrecks. I haven't been to one yet. I was trying to one night, and the boat ended up breaking down, and the wind picked up, and these 6-foot waves started tossing the boat all over, pushed us the long ways, and never got to do the shipwreck dive.
Wow, that's crazy. You know, it's one of those things, though, too, with those wrecks like that, the cool stuff that could be on it. But up in the UP, they drained a lake. There's a lake called Deer Lake, and they had to drain it for some reason. I forget what. I think it was because there was so much. And I don't want to make this factual, but I think there were so many chemicals in the water from mine runoff or different things like that, that they just decided they were drain this entire lake. Oh. So a buddy of mine is an amateur archaeologist, you know, from Nagani and everything. And he was with some other, and they found thousands of spear points and arrowheads that were 10,000 years old. And it was a group, a native tribe that was originally based in like Nebraska and came up through the UP. And we're by those lakes. And he actually wrote a book on it. And they're all in a museum now. You should see these unbelievable. So can you imagine if they drained some of those places, what you would find in some of these lakes around
unbelievable.
Here?
Unbelievable. And like in a lot of we were talking the other day.
It would no longer be Ed the Diver. It'd be Ed the Digger.
Absolutely. I would love to do that.
I love digging,
I would do that. I would do that.
But the old cricks, you can go where it's kind of gravelly in the cricks. And you just take a scooper. You put it in your little sifter. You sift it out and look for arrowheads, too. You can spear tips too.
But is that even legal anymore? I know you can't, because I wanted to go metal detecting one time up in O'Connell County, O'Connell Falls actually, outside, and it's illegal to try to find the bronze type things to dig them up.
Huh.
Yeah.
Copper too?
Or and really? Yeah, copper. Yes. Yeah.
Well, then what are those people walking around with those?
If it's public land, you can't. If you're not supposed to pick up anybody from Oconto or O'Connell Falls out there know the actual rule. You're not supposed to take anything out of the ground. If it's the old copper points. Because some of those people have great collections.
Right.
That's
good thing,
like,
I'm underwater.
Yeah.
It's true.
That's like speeding. You shouldn't speed either. Johnny, I see people in parks all the time with those things.
No,
that's
you're not allowed.
Land.
You're not allowed.
What are they doing?
You're not allowed to metal detect in a park. I'm pretty sure, Jim.
I don't think so.
Let's call the cops and find out.
You want to make another $100 bet?
DNR.
Yes or no? We're going to set a quick break. And the diver is with us.
This is going to be fun. I'll talk to you about that whole industry and how it's growing. There's a
and
lot
what
going
you've
on.
Done
right.
To bring awareness to
right.
this.
Right. Big time.
Back after this.
You're listening to the talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Every industry seems to be facing challenges trying to find qualified employees. Agriculture is no different. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Wednesday. And if your sector of agriculture requires some specific training, well, your job pool just got smaller. Details on the way.
I look at this dairy cow, and again, it's the animal that I love. The things that this dairy cow can do and the way that she can produce milk, to me, there is no substitute for milk in the world. And to be able to keep cows and help cows produce that for people, to me, that's a privilege. I'm Dr. Bill Zimmer. Nutrition and microbials, commonly called probiotics. That's BioVet. Learn more at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Terry Cosby is the National Director of the Natural Resource Conservation Service through the U.S. Department of Agriculture. He said they're facing incredible challenges trying to fill vacancies that they have because they require specific skills and specific training. And Cosby said in many cases, college campuses across the United States have dropped the key curriculum that they need to qualify employees.
Most of these college campuses have dropped classes out of their curriculum. That's important to us. And mainly soils courses. What we're finding is that when they're graduating from college, they don't qualify to come work for us because they don't have a soils course. And it seems to me that anyone that's in agriculture, a foundational course would be soils. You have to understand that because that is the backbone of farming and what we do. And so we're having a challenge right now on college campuses finding students that could come work for us. Now, we can hire them in other disciplines, but we need soil conservationists, and those are the folks that are out on these farms with the ranchers writing these conservation plans.
Terry Cosby, he is the National Director of the Natural Resource Conservation Service through the U.S. Department of Agriculture. He said today they are now recruiting internships with students as young as 15.
Time to get back in the fields again. Whether you need high-quality used equipment to get the job done, or you have planting or other farm equipment you would like to sell, Steffes Group is a nationally recognized leader in the auction business with over 60 years of experience. To find a sales representative near you or for a list of upcoming auctions in your area and nationwide, visit steffesgroup.com. That's S-T-E-F-F-E-S group.com, your auction leader.
And May is Beef Month, and the Beef Checkoff this year is partnering up with the Little League World Series. As part of their partnership, they'll be named the official sponsor of the perfect home plate with Little League. They'll also be hosting a beef dinner the night before the opening game of the Little League Baseball World Series to fuel up those athletes. Find more at beefitswhatsfordinner.com. I'm Pam Yonke.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Plenty of sunshine through early afternoon, and then we do have a chance of an isolated shower or two popping through here by late today and again into tonight. Our high today, 68. The wind northeast at around 5 to 15. Tonight, 46. Tomorrow, clouds and a few showers in the morning. More sunshine in the afternoon with a high near 60. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
Fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke here with the Midwest Farm Report live weekday mornings right here on WGBW. It's about your food and where it comes from. Tune in and learn. 5 a.m., 1590 a.m., 97.9 FM, the talk of Green Bay.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 a.m. and 97.9 FM WGBW. Take Mino and the Mayor with you anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store and text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app.
Download it today.
Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Got a nice text here. I really enjoyed listening in. I'm originally from Oconto, but haven't lived in Wisconsin since 2011. Nice to hear a dose of home on my way into work. Allison in Pennsylvania. Thank you, Allison. Welcome.
Yes.
That's awesome.
You get a dose of home
every
day.
Do they still make Oconto beer?
Between 6 and 9.
Do they still make Oconto beer?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I find a lot of bottles, though.
Do you?
Yeah.
Some of those are really old, aren't they?
Yep.
Yeah. If you ever find an old beer case, an Oconto beer case, can I have it?
An old beer case?
Yes, the old wooden beer case, the Oconto wooden beer case. Those are valuable.
I don't know if I'd find it underwater because they'd be all...
All rotted?
Yeah, rotted up and stuff. Right.
Well, if you ever find one in a bar, get it for me. So, let me ask you this.
He always has his hand out. You know, every time we bring a doctor in here, well, I got this hip. Anyway, yes, if you find that, give it to him. I'll pay it.
If I find $1 million, I'll give it to you.
Exactly. Thank you.
He would not be ashamed of asking that. You know, most of us would say, well, let's split it.
So when you do off the island of Marinette a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Once you've done that, do you stay away for a couple of years, like, or does stuff keep coming back every year, or do you feel like you've cleaned that place out, or?
No, every year it just keeps building back up.
Well, and it moves, right?
I clean up the same area probably about 6 times a year. You know,
really?
Because everybody's still fishing out there. They're losing lures. The current maybe brought something down the river a little bit, so there's always something there.
You know, this, you've made us more interested in it, but even without knowing you, this is a growing industry, right?
I mean, you brought so much awareness.
Yeah,
to
you
this.
Did. I mean, just.
Yep. Even to just the city of Marinette, since I was doing a lot of diving there, I was putting a lot of Marinette hashtags. So it really brought more awareness to the Fish City USA. And they're actually helping me. They're sponsoring me now with an ad on my truck because they realize how much I've done. I just brought Charlie Behrens and Ryan Rubel to Marinette last week, along with Matt Ramage. Had an awesome time diving, cleaning up the river.
Probably not the most serious dive you've ever had.
No, there's a lot of laughing, a lot of BS going on.
So Charlie Behrens is a diver?
Yeah, he dives. And actually, I was supposed to bring equipment for him, and I forgot. So, well, I mean, he had his suit and stuff, but I was supposed to bring an extra tank, extra BCD, but I forgot. And everyone was, like, rushing. We were trying to get the dive done, and I ended up just giving him my stuff, and I just free dove, held my breath. But he had a good time searching for lures. He found a bunch.
Oh, no kidding.
And that's his thing. I mean, he is an environmentalist. I mean, that's what he got his degree in and everything, and in journalism. And then he became this great comedian, too. So I bet you he really enjoyed that.
Oh, he really did. And texted me after that. He's like, had a great time.
Right.
Can't wait to do it again.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's very cool. So what's your count up to now, lure-wise?
Oh, I don't even have the count anymore. All I know is, like, a couple years ago, we had like 16,000 lures between me and Silent J.
16,000!
In 1 year. That was in 1 year.
In 1 year.
But I haven't been hit it this hard this year. Been on vacation, spending more time with Christy here. So I'm not able to accomplish my mission like I have been.
Did you sell all 16,000?
No, we donate a lot.
Okay.
We donate a lot.
Gave one to each of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
We have those.
Wow.
Yeah, everybody's got their hand out saying, hey, can I have some lures? You know how it is.
I know how it is.
I know you guys, you divers are like secret fishing holes, but is there a place you want to dive?
That's a good question.
Oh, what?
But you
don't
tell
want
us.
To give away?
Why did I ask? He's not going to tell us.
I love diving by dams, you know, stuff that has history, like Little Bohemia up in Star Lake, whatever, Manitowoc Waters. I'm actually heading there this summer to go search around there, and there's an old dam up there also. But I like stuff where low vis, where, you know, you don't see it until it's only a couple feet away, and it just surprises you. Whether it's a snapping turtle or...
I was going to say, have you ever run into a big snapping turtle down there? A
couple.
That would scare the crap out of me.
That'd be my last dive.
Mine too. I'm not kidding. Yeah.
Wow. Are they dangerous? Are they afraid of you?
You don't want to try to pet them.
No, they're... I've actually put my hand... I had a bottle in my hand, and I put my hand right past its face and didn't even move. It just blinked.
Wow.
So, it was an accident. I didn't see it until the last second, but... And then the other time, I got close to one and just swam away really fast.
Wow.
Yeah,
Well, that you guys in the 8-foot sturgeons, he can pet.
Oh, yeah. Right? That's incredible seeing those things floating around.
Yeah, it is cool swimming up to them. And you don't really realize how big they are until you get really right up next to it. And you put your hand on it. You can see the comparison of his body compared to your hand.
Wow.
Big.
That's unbelievable. We're with Ed the Diver. Now, Ed, tell us again about your tour, because you've become such an internet star. I mean, truthfully, how many followers do you have now for what you're doing?
Probably over 300,000 so far.
It's incredible.
Yeah, it's really growing, and it's I can't keep up with comments anymore. Actually, Christy helps me with my Facebook page because I can't keep up.
Has anybody ever approached you to do, like, you know, one of these TV networks?
Yeah, I actually got two episodes coming out from a TV show producer from Bill Shirk from Minnesota. Came over last year, did two episodes. So that's supposed to be airing anytime soon now.
Okay.
I think at Bally Sports Outdoors and some other networks.
Awesome.
But yeah, been in the talks with another TV show. But it still hasn't happened. We've been in talks for a year.
Wow.
So I'm just going to keep doing my thing, and whatever happens,
see what happens. Huh?
Yeah.
I can see why people are drawn to this. I mean, there's a lot of, like, I don't know, surprises, or there's just, you really don't know.
You're out there. It's the unknown. It's the cool part.
That keeps people interested. It's like a lot of things. Like, a lot of people like to do stuff to learn as they go and get surprised.
And would want to do it,
right,
but can't, or, whatever.
I was going to ask, though, like, if you want to do this, I mean, you know, Christy's getting certified in scuba. Is that step one?
Yeah.
What is step one?
Step one is just call the scuba near scuba shop and set up an appointment to get trained.
And that's only a few lessons, right? Six or something?
You just got to study some kind of online thing or read a book.
And you go to the YMCA, you go in the pool, you go down the pool for it, and then they take you out to the real nature, a quarry or a river, and... Yeah, it doesn't. It's just like, it's not like a 2-year process.
No.
I mean, you can do that thing and
you can get it done in a week or two.
Right.
But they also at Green Bay Scuba there. They offer a program for vets, which is really cool.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
That's neat.
That's cool.
Not all shops do that, but they actually offer that. And I had a couple of buddies that are vets that got through that program.
And I think they might have a student rate too. I'm not sure though. But that was a long time ago that my daughter.
Did you ever used to watch your Lloyd Bridges show, Sea Hunt?
No.
Oh, I loved that show.
He's a little younger than us, John.
Do you remember Sea Hunt?
Yeah, I do. I do.
Todd, like, remember Sea Hunt?
I don't.
You don't?
See, John, you are aging yourself. I just saw the reruns.
Sea Hunt was awesome.
Yeah, Jim staying at home on Saturday, binge-watching Sea Hunt.
Not
he
my
will.
Thing. Yeah.
He will. All right. So do you have any areas that Jim kind of brought this up that it's like you haven't gone to yet, but you don't even want to say that you're going to be there sometime because what could potentially be there?
Not really. I get a lot of tips. I've got my whole map of Wisconsin. I've got green dots everywhere, with people telling me, what's going to be there, what I'm going to find there. And then they want me to, call them when I'm coming to the area, but I've got so many tips. Like I can't remember everybody's name and stuff,
but some of those tips must be kind of cool. Cause like rumor has it, you know?
Yep.
And that's where I'd go.
Well, I still think you need to go up to the UP by odd train. Yeah. The water is so clear there, it's mind-boggling. I mean, you can see 40 feet down. This water is so clear.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
I'm with you on this. The Green Bay stuff, it's 2 feet if you're lucky.
Oh, yeah. Fox River here. I was in there getting that Maserati key two nights ago, and I could only see like a foot and a half.
Well, there was a thing a year ago, not this winter, winter ago. Todd, if you can find that picture, please. It was in Autrain, Michigan, and the ice was so crystal clear. But it's like 2 feet thick, but it's still so clear it was mind-boggling. And you could walk out like half a mile and look down 40 feet to the bottom of Lake Superior. That's how clear it is.
It's pretty cool.
Wow. It's really something. Yeah. So I got to set you up there, right?
Yeah.
I'll come with you when I'm doing it. Yeah.
Ed, do you do any contract diving for like police?
No, I don't. I've had a couple different police departments call me to ask me questions and stuff and ask me my rate and stuff like that.
For them to get their own dive team is very, very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So they'd better off. Many of the, especially the smaller communities, we have our own dive team here in Green Bay, but smaller communities maybe just want to contract with a guy like you, call you up, but then you may be looking at bodies too, and they may not be your wheelhouse.
Yeah, and I've never seen any bodies yet except fish bodies, but I have talked to a lot of rescue divers that say, hey, I feel really uncomfortable doing this because we barely get any training throughout the year or refreshers. So it's like they know that I'm in the rivers all the time looking at low vis stuff. So they'd ask me a lot of questions, but I've never had to go do a search and rescue.
Well, I give those guys a lot of credit, man.
I think you could make a little side hustle on that.
Yeah, I did. I mean, most.
But if you want to do it, I mean, do you really want to go look for a body? I wouldn't.
If they need me to, I would, but it's not something I want to do. Right. I don't think anybody wants to, but.
I think Officer Craig does that.
Yeah, he's a diver.
He does.
Doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
But Ed also has a degree in what?
Law enforcement.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, do you? I didn't know that.
I do.
Oh, wow.
See, man, you just sign on the dotted line. You make a couple hundred bucks an hour.
Yeah, I like work for myself, though, and you just kind of, I love grabbing stuff and like finding cool stuff.
This is your job, right, Ed? I mean, this is your profession. This is your career.
Your livelihood,
this is
your, right?
Year and a half now, full time. And it's like scuba diving, public speaking, making videos, social media.
So what's next for you besides finding that, that chest of gold? Are you going to become a licensed certified so you can teach people like us?
I don't have the patience for that.
Yeah, I bet. So,
I'm just trying to get my teach my mermaid how to swim right now underwater.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. You've done it. I mean, social media has changed the world in a lot of ways, good or bad. For you, it's the vehicle that has changed your life right. In some ways, isn't it?
Exactly. And a lot of people want to come do it, and they say, we've been fishing for so many years, and we always wonder what would be underwater. You know, we want to get our lures back, but they never did it. I did it, and they just enjoy watching the videos and just seeing what's underneath the water there.
Awesome.
What a great.
Awesome. Yep.
I think Johnny's right. It's not a new industry. I mean, it's been around forever, but you've made it
cool.
Chic or whatever.
You've made it cool.
And the fact that you didn't have to run ads on TV or anything, and you get 300,000 people, that's a lot of followers.
Yeah. So it's still growing.
Congrats to you. It is, right? Yeah. That's going to be cool. I think a lot of kids, maybe I shouldn't say kids, but, you know, young adults are very interested in that. Because like you said, you know, we've been on top of the water for years and years. Let's see what's under there.
As the producer of the show, I think it would be hilarious to see Jim and John in wetsuits in the water.
You could just stop there, just in the wetsuits.
You're right, Jim. We'll just take a picture.
The hell with the water.
I want to be there for that.
All right. You know what? Why? Todd, really?
Well, Jim's the one who said that. I think you guys would go and have a great time if you went out and did that. I could see Jim in the murky with his hands digging around and stuff.
I mean, you don't even have to wear a wetsuit. I'll just see you in the water.
Yeah, whatever. Let me ask you this, though. Do you know how to swim to be a scuba diver?
No, you don't. It's just you got to know how to float and sink.
Oh, I can do both. Well, I can't float. How do you learn how to float? I don't know how to float.
Yeah, but you use
I tried snorkeling one time, and this is no lie. I'm going to try to find the video. It was with a Rastafarian, and I told this story in Jamaica, and I was going down, and I grabbed him by the neck. And he's like, no, man. True story.
Because why? Why'd you grab him by the neck?
Because I started sinking.
Oh.
Oh.
Panic.
Did you have a life jacket.
I didn't have one, Jim.
Okay.
He didn't have one.
They have them hanging right there.
Okay.
Yeah, so you can regulate your air and your BC, your BCD.
My concern with Johnny would be he would panic. And that's very dangerous with those tanks on.
Yeah, How do you know?
I don't know. I've known you for 10 months now. I hope I'm wrong.
I know, John, you're wrong.
You've got to be like really kind of, what's the word? You just got to be
self-control and, you know, stay calm.
Right. Right here.
Yeah, you need those.
Right there. Every morning. He's going to change when you put the tanks on him. I don't know.
Maybe. I'd like to put it all on.
Yeah.
And just go to the pool. Walk in the pool and just keep going deeper and deeper, and then put my head underwater.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I want to try that one time.
You got some extra gear.
Yeah.
I'm not an instructor though, so I can't. You have to go to Green Bay Scuba and try it out.
All right.
Right.
Do they have a pool?
No, they take you to the Y.
I don't want to be around people.
Oh, my gosh, that would be so funny.
No, I'm not going to be around people.
Do they close? No, I don't think there's people around, Johnny, when they do. I think it's just your class.
Yeah. Right. Well, we'll have cameras there for sure.
Except Todd. Todd might come in.
I don't trust Todd anymore.
Yeah, I know, right?
You know?
There's been a few zingers today.
Who has he become?
Right. Laugh at us in a wetsuit. Yeah, I know.
Todd, you're in two, right?
Yeah,
I'll do it.
I'll do the filming.
But do you have to wear the lead belts?
That's like, so when you have a thicker suit on, it's a more mil, so it makes you more buoyant.
Okay.
Then you need more weight to keep you down.
Okay.
But right now I'm wearing
John
a thinner suit.
No, we're good.
Wow.
But I've got about 15 wetsuits. Might have one or two that fit you.
I got really big calves.
calves. I didn't know they called that a calf. I thought they called that a gut.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God. We're off to a flying start today, people.
Yeah, I know.
Wow. All right. Ed the Diver has been with us. Is it Diver Ed or Ed the Diver?
Ed the Diver, but you can call me whatever you want.
All right.
All right.
Just don't call me late for dinner.
Yeah, all right.
Well, Ed, it's always great having you here, and I want you to keep letting us know about your schedule because I know people want to come out and watch you.
Right.
And when are you going to be posting that?
So Facebook this week, I'll be updating it, my schedule for the summer here.
Outstanding. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah,
I appreciate everything
awesome.
You do.
And to share that talent with people that maybe want to bring their kids out there and watch you, I think that's very nice.
I do, too. And what did I post on your big lure?
I hope you find my body someday.
Exactly. Quick break. Back of this. Nobody knows. Baby, get ready. Ooh, ooh.
You and me go fishing in the dark. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The weather impacts everything, and the history of windmills includes using the weather. In this case, the wind, to help mill grain and pump water. The modern windmills that you see across Wisconsin today are often called wind turbines. These still use the wind, but now it's to produce electricity. And a new study shows that turbines can also lower the daytime temperature while keeping it warmer at night. The moving air protects crops from frost. It's a weather-ready fact. And Saturday, May 11th, is National Windmill Day. If you really want to celebrate, save June 5th through the 9th. Because it's Windmill Days in Baldwin, Wisconsin, a celebration of Dutch heritage and the windmills in the village. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
All right, Johnny gets a $10 fine.
No, I
He's
don't.
Not at his desk.
I was too.
He was saying goodbye to Ed the Diver.
And going to introduce himself to our new guest coming up.
Oh, who's coming in?
Right there, UFO Museum Gift Shop.
Oh, cool.
Yes, that's great.
That
fun.
Was nice of you to do that. All right,
that's the kind of guy I am.
$5.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate that. Yeah. I would like to give that a try though.
Yeah.
It's something I've always wanted to do, and I'm not even kidding about this. Because I was recruited to be a Navy SEAL.
Okay.
What? John, like you stretch your truth a lot, but that's just total, like that's too far. Like everybody's like, oh my God, people are driving right now. They're like, oh my God, driving off the road.
No.
You're not recruited. Navy SEALs, John, is the elite of the elite of the elite. You should know that better than anybody. So you were, okay, all right, let's go with it.
Yeah, like I knew a couple and like, dude, you should do this. I'm like, I don't know. They're like, dude, we know you. We think you could do this.
Okay.
It's like, I don't know how to swim. They said, don't worry about it, man.
Yeah, Navy SEALs, they don't know how to swim.
Yeah. They're like, we think you'd be awesome running with those big, like telephone poles they do and doing pull-ups with them and, like, just lying in the surf where they're
right.
Pummels here. They, we think you'd
crawling
be really
good. Crawling in the
good.
Mud. Yeah. Just, yeah.
Guys getting in your
sharpshooters.
Face. Sharpshooters. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Well. Actually, you know, have you ever read the book? I think it is the book, Make Your Bed, by the retired Navy
yep.
guy. Mm-hmm. And he was a SEAL.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so nasty. So one of their last things they do is they have this huge swim. I don't know if it's all the way to Catalina Island, but it's somewhere in that, okay?
Yeah,
it's fine. A night swim,
mm-hmm.
pitch black,
mm-hmm.
and everybody's on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what they do before they send them out? They do a full description of all the different types of sharks in the water.
Right.
Everyone. And this is the tiger shark. It's 12 feet long right. and blah, 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 blah. So
it will attack, you know, just
exactly.
You, yeah.
Just to like take to the very last level yeah. mm-hmm. of what you're getting into. And is that amazing
yeah.
when you think about that?
Those SEALs, remember that SEAL that came into Green Bay, spoke at the chamber event? He's the guy that took out.
Yeah, Osama I got a picture Laden. Of him on my phone.
Yeah, me too. That. And when you talk to him and listen to him, just how precise they are in every little detail. Those guys are so disciplined. I mean, you think doctors are disciplined? And then these guys, it's unbelievable.
Well, that guy, okay, he told me another story. Because he was, did you ever see the movie Captain Phillips?
No.
About the Somalian bandits who, or pirates, whatever you want to call them, that took over the big oil ship?
I remember the story. I remember the story, but I don't remember them. I haven't seen them.
Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway,
mm-hmm.
The pirates then took over one of the survival type pods that they have in those ships.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? They don't have life rafts anymore. They actually have these pods that are basically unsinkable and they're enclosed. And that's what you go in now if you have to abandon ship.
And they break away and then you just.
Yeah, they just. Yep. It's. Yeah.
That's cool.
They don't use lifeboats anymore. So mm-hmm. that's what the pirates went in and took Captain Phillips with them.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
So that guy, the guy that got Osama bin Laden. Okay. So that guy. For 6 hours, they were in like a raft with his scope on like the lead guys, and they're just bouncing up and down
wow.
that entire time for 6 hours.
He just had the red
waiting for
on
clearance,
yep.
and then I forget what the word was. They said one word, and boom, and they were all headshots.
Yeah,
isn't that incredible?
It
6 hours they sat there bobbing up and down. Yeah,
and then when it came time, it was a perfect shot.
Perfect shot, all headshots. Yeah.
Yeah, that that's guy was, it is. It's
that's another reason that one seals to Minor. You should think about this. Yeah, we can see you having the patience
Todd, discipline.
Discipline.
Comes waltzing in late. Okay, yeah, I don't know. Patience. That would be, patience, discipline. No, that guy was really impressive. I really enjoyed it.
Then he got in a big trouble.
He did.
He talked a little bit too much.
He did. And they're like, look, oath of honor, the silence.
Yep.
He kind of tried to make a little money off it.
Seems like it.
That book.
Yeah.
But
I don't think it ended well for him with the Navy SEALs.
No. But he was a little bit entertaining, too, don't you think?
Oh,
for
yeah.
a guy that's that.
We had him in
stoic.
Ted Thompson's box with the meeting the troops. Yeah.
I thought he was kind of funny.
But you know one thing I noticed about the Navy SEAL guys? The ones I have met, they're kind of nondescript guys.
Yeah.
As far as, in the movies, they're all looking like, all whatever. This guy's probably 5'10", 5'11", 175 pounds.
Right. Not,
unassuming looking.
Right. I agree.
But could kill you in about 8 different ways. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 But
special breed.
Oh my God. And that's
very special breed.
Yeah, and John, I mean, come on. You're not in that class.
No, I'm not.
I mean, you're a great guy, but I'm not in that class.
I'm about as opposite of that class as pretty much anything.
I don't know.
Anything you could find.
Well, there's a guy in Green Bay, and his two sons are Navy SEALs.
Oh, absolutely.
So
we both
know them.
Him.
Right.
Absolutely.
And again, just, I don't know. God bless them, right?
Yeah, the worst part of the whole training is, though, the escape and evasion, where, you're up for like 3 days, you don't sleep, and then they capture you, and they are dressed. And they are exactly, like, to your point where your mind, they say, plays games. Is this real?
Am I really getting trapped? Yeah.
Is this real?
Well, you sleep deprived for 3 days.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah.
I mean, God.
They put you in these tiny little cages, basically, and just leave you there. Yeah. 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 Different breed of people.
Well,
different breed of people.
Yeah. And yeah. They love it. Like,
they
absolutely.
They live it. They love it. They don't want to do anything else.
Yeah.
So
we'll start with Ed the Diver. Let's just start. Let's not do this Navy SEAL thing, John.
Okay.
Let's just start with Ed the Diver.
You don't want to do the Navy SEAL
training
thing?
Nah, let's just do the YMCA.
I thought maybe you and I should do that.
Nah, we'll do the YMCA pool.
Okay. Or that.
We'll try that.
All right.
Scuba. What is it? Scuba Land? What's the name of that place?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I'd just like to see what it'd be like to just go be underwater and be able to breathe and be able to see stuff underwater. I would just like to try that once in my life, see what that'd be like.
You do have claustrophobia, though, right?
Yes.
Yeah. You tore yourself out of that. Yeah. Oh, that's not good.
I almost chewed myself out of that room.
I know.
I'm not kidding.
I saw the pictures.
I literally almost chewed
John
myself out of
that room. John had a total meltdown. You're locked in a very small room.
Complete panic attack. Yeah. Like, you can't believe.
No, this, you have no business scuba diving. Zero. No, John, because that's, no, mm-mm. I don't think so.
I just wanted to try.
Well, how about the scuba diving? You can still put your little head in the water.
That's what I said. Well, that's what I'm talking about. I could do that.
No, not scuba diving. I'm talking about snorkeling.
I don't know how to snorkel. I tried snorkeling once, and
you breathe through the tube?
I couldn't do it, Jim.
And you think you could...
What?
You couldn't snorkel.
No.
And now you want to scuba dive. I think it's like... walking and running or something.
But in snorkeling, you got to be able to swim.
No, you don't.
Well, unless you wear a...
life preserver. And you
life
just
preserver,
float,
yeah.
And you look down in the water and see all the fish.
I couldn't do it.
I just did that.
I tried doing it in Jamaica. I couldn't do it. Or not Jamaica.
You should have worn a life preserver.
Cabos.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah. Did it. Dom was like 7 and he did it.
Yeah. No, it's
I couldn't
very
do it.
Doable. We'll start at the pool.
Me and water were not meant for one another.
Yeah.
You know what I want to talk to Ed the Diver about, though? You know where I would love for him to go, but I think the water might be too dark? They've got right up behind my house in Nagani, it's full of mine pits. You know, old mines from the 1860s. And then they got as much ore out of them as they could, and then they filled it with water. Can you imagine what might be in the bottom of these mine pits?
No, what?
Like a lot of stuff.
Why?
Because the old tools and the old things that they used to use.
They left that stuff behind?
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Wouldn't that be awesome? But the water's pretty dark.
Well, that doesn't seem to bother him.
I know.
That would be cool. How deep are they?
Oh, nobody knows. Bottomless. I'm serious. Nobody knows.
And
I think there's a body. I think there's a body in one. I'll tell you that story. I even looked at the body when I was a kid.
John, 12 feet.
True story.
All right.
True story.
Okay, let's.
They're bottomless.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian Rocky Laporte, who joins the show to talk about his big show in Wisconsin. And Jimmy Cuska joins me to talk sports.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
Progressive presents 10 things on a plumber's to-do list that are harder than getting a small business insurance quote.
Waking up for 5 a.m. plumbing disasters, finding out why water is pouring from the ceiling, replacing a pipe in a home from the 1800s, then dealing with invoices or your awkward apprentice or that really weird smell, and then there's breathing and eating and, of course, clogs. But the easiest thing on any small business owner's to-do list? Seeing if you could save on the business insurance that's right for you. Get a quote in as little as 7 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. Coverage provided and serviced by affiliated and third-party insurers.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.